Welcome to the Cloud and Clear series, in which we invite leading technologists and subject matter experts at the cutting edge of multi-cloud solutions to probe key issues and trends. I'm Des O'Connor, Cloud Intelligence Lead at Dell Technologies UK, and in this episode, we'll be discussing why ecosystems are becoming a strategic imperative for businesses and the role cloud plays in delivering them. Today, this podcast is entitled Getting the Band Back Together. And it's fantastic to be here, actually, because I've worked very closely with one of our guests today, and I also used to work at EY, so it's great to have EY in the room today. So without further ado, today I have the pleasure of hosting Greg Sarafin, Global Leader from EY, and Margrethe McGrath from Dell Technologies Global Alliances. Greg, can you give me a quick introduction to who you are and what do you do?
Hi, thank you. It's great to be here. So I am a 7-year partner with EY, and for the last 5 years, my title has been Global Leader Partner Ecosystems, which is just a fancy way of saying I'm responsible for the relationships we form with other companies to jointly create value for our common clients. And of course, Dell is a big part of those relationships. And I'm responsible for who we select as partners, how much we invest in them, and then I'm responsible for the results, both measured by client impact, the revenue that both EY and our partners receive, incremental to what they otherwise would have done, and even increasingly social good that we're doing with our partners as well.
As we've got a music theme for these Cloud and Clear podcasts, I am going to ask, what's your favorite band?
I would say it's probably a band called PNAU, Panau, out of Australia. I have a very esoteric collection of music tastes, and I've consistently liked that band, certainly in the last 10 years.
Well, I am ashamed to say I don't know who they are, but I will check them out. I've written them down, so I'll be listening to that on my commute home today. Margrethe, it's always a pleasure to be working alongside you. Give us a brief introduction to who you are and what do you do?
Well, first of all, Des, I love that the band is back together again. There's something very funny and warm about being in a room with EY and you. So just quick introduction on myself. I'm Margrethe. I lead out on our strategic partners inside our global alliances. One of those is EY, and I know they're a very trusted partner for us, and we're looking forward to deepening and expanding this relationship. So, yeah.
And what is your favorite band?
My favorite band, I had to think about this, Des, because you know a lot of my music tastes, and I know you're going to tease me on this one, but I think it's probably Crowded House from New Zealand, because I lived down there for a long time, and I've seen them many times, and they played recently in London, and they were phenomenal. So they just keep getting better and better.
Well, we have an Oceania theme going here.
I've noticed. So before we kick into the main conversation, it would be good just to outline what we mean by ecosystem. Ecosystems are one of those terms that if you ask a number of people, there'll be various answers. Most of the answers may be similar in vein, but I'm sure there'll be some nuances. Greg, in one of your recent leadership blogs through EY, you defined ecosystems as a concept that recognizes organizations in a closed system where members of that system must work with and around each other to keep that system stable, ideally optimizing the collective benefit. So I think that's no truer word for what's happening in the global environment today. And I just wanted to see if there's any kind of expansion on what you understand to be ecosystems and their importance.
Yeah, the trend that we see very clearly is companies have always worked together, right? You go back to the start of business, day two, companies were partnering with each other. And what's happened, of course, over the centuries is that, you know, particular industries have developed certain patterns of partnering. And certain natural ecosystems have evolved over that time. What we're seeing now is that with the pace of change, particularly business model change, that everybody must do. I mean, Dell, you're changing your business model from a world-class provider of infrastructure products to a world-class provider of infrastructure as a service, edge as a service, converged infrastructure as a service. That's a big pivot, right? And similarly, EY is making a pivot from selling rate times hour to selling outcomes, doing largely the same things, but, you know, being accountable and sharing in the risk of what the client receives. So ecosystems are a big part of how all companies now are accelerating and pivoting into those changing business models. And of course, that's a trend we all know is going to continue. And so when we look at ecosystem, we think that what's happening is businesses increasingly, when they look at building, buying, or partnering, partnering is increasingly the answer. And the ways in which they partner are now breaking out of the old modes. So Dell, again, will look at you. You partner with OEMs or original equipment manufacturers. You partner with ISVs or independent software vendors, and you partner with GSIs or global systems integrators. That's a very traditional set of partnering modes that you have. But in the future, you're going to be partnering with a lot of different types of companies around your infrastructure as a service concept. And it'll be new types of companies and new types of business models that you enter into with these partners. And so the other thing that I always talk about with ecosystems is we need to recognize that ecosystems are business models. And there are particular types of business models that we see repeated over and over and over again. And it's interesting, we've identified 7 at EY thus far that really are common practice around the world. Yet, when you look at any given company, they typically are only focused on 1 of those 7 in terms of how they think about partnering. And so one of the things that we're encouraging everybody to do, starting with ourselves, is look at all 7 models in terms of as you're creating new types of value and you're pivoting your business model, don't just look at the model you've always operated in today. You guys operate in the symbiotic model. That's 1 of the 7, right? Are you going to operate in the marketplace model? Are you going to operate in the cooperative model? You kind of are today a little bit as well, right? So looking across all those different types of business models within ecosystem is going to be really important for all companies, including ours.
Well, it's actually really interesting. Again, just to quote another EY survey, I saw that you guys claim that the ecosystem era has arrived. And we definitely know that is true. And 71% of people interviewed in that study state that ecosystems are very important to their company's current success and future strategy. I love the term co-opetition and the importance of that. And I think that's really where we are with these ecosystems, is that sharing of risk is so important for the future success.
Yeah, we have a saying, are you managing scarcity or are you taking advantage of abundance? There's a mind shift that has to happen for companies to truly get the benefit of ecosystem business models. The mindset is we're no longer purely in competition with other companies. We are finding ways of creating new forms of value more quickly with other companies. And then having mechanisms, both commercial and otherwise, of sharing that value appropriately based on the risk we're each experiencing and on the benefit we're each contributing into whatever that final value proposition is. And those are easy words to say, but they're not always easy to do, particularly since there's not a lot of history in doing that in business systems today. So when we say it's the age of ecosystem, yeah, I guess that's a little self-serving on my part, given my role. You know, it's always good to have your role be important. But the evidence is also very clear. That survey that you referenced, right, is actually a quantifiable exemplar of that trend, because we've done that now over a 2-year period. We did one a couple years ago before the pandemic, and then that one that you quoted immediately. Well, I guess I'm not sure if we're out of the pandemic yet or not, but wherever we are now. And actually, the trend has been up. If you look at the numbers in the previous study and the current study, they've all trended up. Every company recognizes now that they are going to have to get good in some form or fashion at prosecuting ecosystem business models. And the question is, which ones are going to get good faster than others? Because that's probably a good indication of which ones are going to outperform the market. Mm.
And I think, Margareta, being, you know, Global Alliance's proposition strategic lead, there's obviously a number of questions that we get asked from our customers. And I guess one of the fundamental ones is, how do we measure the net new value of an ecosystem?
Look, I think there's different ways of answering that. I actually think Greg has kind of touched on it. Like, we're looking to drive net new business. We're trying to drive value creation in a different way, whether it's adjacent revenue lines, whether it's growing existing propositions. But I think more importantly, we're trying to innovate and find new ways to deliver value. And some of that we haven't even touched on yet, Des. I think we're at the early stages of this partnership with EY in terms of helping them go to market. We're hugely excited by it. Who knows where we'll go? I think there's lots of ways that we'll deliver new types of values to our customers, right, and to our client base. And I think that could touch on sustainability returns. It could be on new revenue lines. It could be on new innovative models. So I think there's different ways of looking at that. I just think we need to be really clear on what do we determine as the core proposition to together to go to market on, and how are we going to really, you know, extend and expand that offering with our client base to deliver greater goodness, right? And I think Greg also touched on that, which is the greater good. We really do want to touch on solving some of the world's greatest issues and challenges with technology through these ecosystems and partnerships.
I think that resonates on both sides of the fence, right? With EY's Better Working World strategy,
yeah,
and Dell Technologies making human progress.
Absolutely. I think the values and the core purpose were very, both are sort of quite purpose-led. So I think there's an inherent trust there already between our two firms that, you know, we align on a lot of human-centric kind of goals. And I think now it's time to kind of put our heads together and say, okay, where are we going to work together to create new offerings and to drive a greater good?
So I think we've kind of established that a well-constructed ecosystem can deliver a lot of benefits for organizations. But at the core of any ecosystem is the need for a shared digital foundation. And clearly, cloud plays a critical role in delivering this. So Greg, to this extent, what creates a whole new set of challenges for today's CIO and CFOs? Can you share with us what you think are the most important?
Yeah, it's interesting. So cloud in some ways is the great enabler of acceleration and innovation in ecosystem. If you think about a lot of the partnership models that have developed over time, they developed around the limitations of being interoperable. The cost of multiple companies coming together to create something could be so high a hurdle they weren't able to do it until cloud, right? Cloud and adopting, you know, the API economy allows that interoperability at a much lower hurdle cost than ever before. So that's actually unlocked the ability of companies to find new and innovative ways to partner. But of course, it also induces a lot of risk if you're a CIO in particular, because you already have an IT landscape that's a mixture of old and new and everything in between. And you're already up at night worried about security issues. And now all of a sudden you're entering into a world where you're also now having to connect to potentially hundreds of third parties in order to deliver the value proposition that your ultimate clients are demanding. And that creates a whole new set of challenges for your IT infrastructure, because you now need to design IT infrastructure not just for your own needs, but for the needs of interoperability with other companies, often on a dynamic basis going forward. And then if you're the CFO, you have to look at, you know, when calculating the value of your enterprise, when presenting the value of your enterprise to analysts and shareholders, how do you talk about the value more than direct selling revenue? Right. And in brand permission, when it's not just your brand, it's multiple brands that are part of a value proposition. Where is your brand versus the other brands? And are you comfortable with that? So this whole model, if you're a CFO, explaining the value of your company when it's sort of federated across a complex network of participants, and it's not just about money. Remember, there's a lot of ways to exchange value. There's data.
Yeah.
Data,
yeah,
is really kind of the new gold, right?
So
there's intellectual property. That's another way to exchange value. Another way is customer access. Some companies have access to customers. Other companies have things that those customers want. They come together. Magic happens, right? So all of these things, brand permissions, another one. Two brands together can be better than one brand alone, or the individual brands alone, right? So all these things need to be calculated. And if you're a CFO, you don't have a good toolkit today, mm-hmm, to do that, let alone, you know, negotiating the commercial arrangements amongst the parties that make sure that you're getting your fair share of value back for the value that you're putting into whatever this ecosystem is. So lots of interesting challenges. And it doesn't just, of course, stop at the CIO and CFO, although those are two critical roles dealing with this today.
It's really interesting that you say that, because I think the power of two or three or four,
yeah,
is so important. And your brand can bring a lot to the table, but your strengths may be someone else's weaknesses. And it's that chain of command that can interoperate between both organizations that can bring the power further to the customer. Because as consumers, we're becoming more demanding.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we want everything at our fingertips. And as a result, that's driving new innovation within the marketplace.
I think it also brings different roles to an ecosystem, right? You've got those that are orchestrating it, those that are supplying it, those that are complementing it, and it's figuring out where each of those organizations, where their strengths are, as you said, you know, are they complementary, are they symbiotic, are they value enhancing? And I really like, Greg, just the clarity you brought there about the value, right? That touching on the data element of it, the brand permission, like there's several different ways to measure this. And I'm not sure every organization is equipped, because I think we've been looking at traditional measures, right, to manage a partnership or an ecosystem in the past. And I think where this kind of new dawn, particularly since the pandemic, where organizations have had to digitalize overnight. So they've had to use partners to reach customers in new ways that were remote. So I think the way we measure these partnerships and ecosystems and alliances is changing. And it's not always about the bottom line dollars or revenue up front. It may well be about the intellectual property and the brand affiliation and reaching new kind of customer market groups over time, right? So there might be different growth models over time that happen.
And I guess on that point, Margaretta, how is Dell evolving the ecosystem strategy? And where do we see Dell in its role as we provide pivot towards as a service solutions for our customers?
Yeah, and I think Dell is on a journey, as every organization is. I don't think you ever finally reach the top of your ecosystem strategy. I think we're evolving it all the time, but I think we are certainly embracing an as a service model with our infrastructure. Greg and I just spent a couple hours this morning kind of talking about our partnership, and I think that's one that's going to continually evolve and pivot as well, and we'll start to involve other providers, whether it's OEMs or ISVs or cloud providers in that. So I think there's different levels of maturity. We're going through this at the moment, and I think Dell is really keen to evolve out and mature our ecosystem, right? We're always looking to innovate, and I think we've always been a company, and I think that comes from our founder, that's always embraced partners, right? If we think back about the relationship with Intel and Microsoft, and I think this is an extension of it with EY. We're really excited by it. I think there's lots more that's going to come down the track around how we deepen and expand this partnership in key markets and what offerings we go into. So it's a journey, Des. I'm not sure we'll ever get to the final destination. I think we really want to keep growing and have a bit of a growth mindset here to innovate, but we're excited.
One of the things we recently launched on the Dell side was our smart car solution. I mean, that's been in for many years, but we've done something recently with Volkswagen. And if you think about how the car, for example, if we look at that as a use case, the business case and the business requirements have fundamentally changed. And what we're recognizing at Dell is that it's an edge device. The car is now seen as an edge device, but also it's a data center on wheels.
Yeah.
So you've no longer just got a manufacturing a car.
Yeah.
You've now got that technology and the smart capability within that space to send information from the edge to the core to the cloud and back again to make sure that the car and the vehicle is safe. But we cannot do that on our own, and the manufacturer cannot do that on its own. So we've got that beautiful ecosystem where we're creating a gap in the market where there is demand from our customers within that space as well.
And the same could be said for smart homes, smart grids, smart factories. I think we're seeing it right across multiple different verticals, right? I think this is just the way it's going as a service, and in terms of how we innovate, I think will be, you know, how it's going to move in the future. But certainly in terms of the automobile sector, I think Dell is doubling down on a focus there to drive greater value.
I love the automobile sector as an example, because so many people can identify with it, right?
Yeah.
And also it's sort of emblematic of what we were talking about earlier. Products and services are going to outcomes, right? So that car as a data center, why is it becoming a data center? Because ultimately that car is no longer a car. It is an experience that gets you from point A to point B, right? And while you're going from point A to point B, it enables you to be productive, right? It used to be you get on the car and you'd focus on driving. Now you're going to get in your vehicle and your vehicle is going to become basically a mobile entertainment center or a mobile office or some combination of the two, communications, and it's going to take you to the metaverse, right? I mean, you think about all the things, you know, we're laughing, but honestly, that's what's going to happen, right?
Right.
And the concept of private transportation and public transportation are going to merge because everything's going to be on network, and all these individual vehicles will effectively know where they're going and will optimize how they get there for the greater good, right? That doesn't happen without what Dell brings, which is the edge, what the manufacturers bring, which is the core ability to still create the physical devices that move people about, right? Mobility is what it's called, right? And then, of course, stitching together the ecosystems, all the different services that go into that supercomputer on wheels, right? That allow all the different experiences as well as sort of being optimal in terms of use of energy and everything else. That's just one example, right? You in every industry you see this, right? You look at a company like Nike. It makes shoes, running shoes and apparel and so forth. Great company. What are they pivoting to? They're becoming a company that gives you an active lifestyle experience, right? You just go down the line. Every company today that's producing something is going to produce something tomorrow that's an outcome that's powered by the edge and cloud, that has a wonderful digital experience around it, that goes back to your point. We are getting spoiled as people by convenience and by just world-class experiences. And we will walk away and towards anything that improves the quality of our lives and the outcomes we receive.
I think that's so valuable, right? It's convenience matching the experience that we're partaking. And that's both from a business doing that, because when you have an ecosystem set up correctly, it can provide a better experience to customer, but it also can be more convenient in the way that you go to market. But I think those two examples of Nike having that sustainability side, how they're creating that experience from inception right through to customer enjoyment, but also from a smart vehicle perspective, you've got the car, the vehicle itself, you've got the green energy ecosystem sustainability, you've got the smart city, and then you've got the technology itself. By collaborating and pulling that together, pushing the boundaries.
It's a massive ecosystem. And, you know, while we're touching on sustainability, right, I have a saying, you can't have a circular economy when you're driven by linear value chains, right?
Yeah.
So the model that we have historically of, you know, I buy from suppliers who buy from sub-suppliers who buy from sub-sub-suppliers, right? And it's sort of that linear chain. That doesn't work when you need everything to work together and everything to recycle back. So another thing driving ecosystem adoption right now is that we need much more complex networked types of business models to enable the circular economy, not these linear ones where good luck trying to get that plastic waste turned back into materials that are feeding the next, you know, iPhone or whatever else you're buying. So that's the other thing I think that we need to look at. Ecosystem really also unlocks our ability to transform, you know, our civil infrastructure, as well as our business infrastructure to support circular economies.
I think we've heard a lot of the benefits today already of how ecosystems can play in value creation and experience. But what are the main challenges that organizations are facing today on ecosystem? If there was a customer or a client listening to this podcast today and they've said, oh, we've tried to do ecosystem, we failed, what could be done to help them overcome those challenges?
I think Greg and I were catching up on this earlier on. Not every ecosystem is equal, right? I think there's different models, there's different approaches to it. I also think the capability to manage complexity in the ecosystem, you know, is not widely understood. I think we're getting better at it. I think organizations are getting better at understanding it, but I think it's still emerging, right? And I think we touched on it as part of this conversation, how you define value, right? Like when we're not seeing immediate growth and there's a maturity in the life cycle, organizations sometimes just disband on the development of that ecosystem and you know, they don't have the confidence it's going to go further. So I think there's several elements of it, which is you've got to really believe in this. You've got to understand the roles of it. You've got to really figure out what the net value is that's going to be driven from it. I think the capability in terms of managing multiple stakeholders, partners, and understanding the role of each of them at different times. But I also think, you know, the ecosystem is not the end point itself. Like, I think organizations will continue to pivot it and adjust it and add new partners and evolve the offerings. And so I think there's never a final endpoint there, right? We're constantly trying to evolve the offering that we're developing for customers. I guess, Greg, what's your perspective on that? Because I'd love to know where you see the biggest challenge. But for us, I think it's probably the capability and defining the value up front as, you know.
I've been living the dream of that challenge for 5 years. I joke with people, I spend as much time doing change management as I do in the market. So as we talked about earlier, the good news is technology has reached a place where it really has come down as a barrier to interoperability. So great, check that box. But it turns out the real challenge starts from within. It starts with things like mindset, right? Should we be thinking partner first or should we be thinking competition first? That's a mindset change that is still very hard at most companies. Then you also have an operating model challenge, right? Is your operating model really designed to be able to plug into a bunch of different partnerships? Yeah, you can set up the technology infrastructure to do it, but can you set up your go-to-market, your joint innovation function, your joint manufacturing and production, right? All these things that today sort of live in a supply chain universe, now going into a partnering universe, very, very hard to change. And then there's the sort of the third challenge that I see is, where does your company view ecosystem as a function? Is it a function of your chief revenue officer as, quote, your indirect channel? Or is it a function of your CFO as, quote, business development, right? And most companies, it's sort of sitting down a level and not sitting in the C-suite as sort of a strategic driver of the overall business strategy and business operating model that's going to unlock value. One of the reasons that companies that are born in the cloud, right, you heard that term, do so well is because often they're also fundamentally born to be ecosystem centric in their operating structure, in their governance structure, in their go-to-market structure. And that's why companies that have been born that way in the last 25 years, many of them become the biggest market cap companies on the planet. And it's really hard for companies that have sort of come from a traditional place to make that pivot. Yet we all need to make that pivot, including my company, because it is a massive undertaking. But if we don't make that journey, we run the risk of becoming irrelevant in the markets we serve.
That's fantastic advice. And I think born in the cloud, obviously they accelerate and grow very, very fast. But having that ecosystem ready element is so imperative to their success. I'm taking away some key things here is about determining the capability of the ecosystem, putting your partner or your competition first. That was a really good point. Determining what your operating model is and making sure that there's a robust change management structure in place. We're coming up on time, so I just have one last question. What is the one thing you're most excited about for the future for ecosystems and the partnership potentially with EY and Dell?
Greg, do you want to go first?
Absolutely. So I think ecosystem business models are the next great step change in creating new economic opportunity for society, right? If you look at history, right, we went to the mechanical age or the industrial age and then the information age. I think we're now going to the partnering age or the ecosystem age. And the capital efficiencies and the acceleration around innovation are just going to be another, it's going to be another big step change, just like all the previous big step changes in human history. And I know those are sort of lofty statements, but I do fundamentally believe that's true. And we see the early evidence of that even now. I'm also excited by the fact that some of our biggest challenges like sustainability, climate change, all these things, we're fortunately also at a point where adoption and acceleration of ecosystem business models to enable these circular concepts, right? And partnerships between public and private sector and so forth. So that is also exciting to me. And then when I look at the relationship with Dell, you know, to me, the workloads that are really going to matter to us in the future are going to be workloads that are fundamentally enabled by the partnership between, you said it earlier, right? The edge to the core to the cloud and back out again.
Yeah.
Right? Computing workloads in order to really unlock those fantastic experiences of the future, whether it's lights out manufacturing, right? Whether it's true mobility as a service and the convergence of private and public transportation, you pick it, whether it's the combined retail and metaverse experience in the store, all those things happen because of what we're doing. That's the really exciting thing to me. And that's why the partnership with Dell is critical for EY, because we know that this is a partnership that is going to unlock incredible value for society, for businesses, and for people.
Amazing. I'm Mark Retta.
It's pretty hard to top that one there, Greg, but I think Actually, I just would add to what Greg has said. I think the learning, right? We learn so much from others, from other organizations. And I think that outside in approach of building an ecosystem, trying to figure out what's symbiotic, what's complementary, how do we innovate together? I think that's hugely exciting. And I think inside Dell at the moment, we're on this journey, certainly with EY. And I think it's only goodness that's going to come out of this, right? And we want to do more. We want to expand it out. So I think it's probably the learning, right? It's not just about the data exchange like that, but actually for our people to work alongside partners that are really bright, that are really capable, that are stretching us to think more and then onboard new partners and advance it out to solve problems that we're facing today and tomorrow, I think is the most exciting play.
I think, you know, as we've mentioned a couple of times in this podcast, the age of the ecosystem has arrived. We've got a very strong partnership with EY and Dell. What we want to be able to do together is drive value and innovation. And look at new core propositions that will help our clients advance in where they are today. So I really want to thank you both for joining me. I've really enjoyed this conversation. I've learned some stuff, especially Panu, who I will be listening to later. So thank you again. In the next episode, we'll be exploring cloud technology's place in the conversation on cloud security, by discussing and outlining the threat landscape and how to protect against threats and build cyber resilience. So I look forward to that next conversation, and thanks again to everyone who's tuned in today.